All right, guys, Pop Till We Drop is about to happen. Are we ready?
I think so.
I know I am.
Well, I came here from a soccer game, so I'm going to talk about that.
Soccer on the brain.
Soccer on the brain.
I was thinking about whether you could actually use the internet to learn something, like a skill, you know? I think that'd be fun.
Yeah.
What are you thinking about, Tess?
Well, as I was getting out of the car to come into the studio, it dawned on me that there's all these stereotypes about Minnesota, and I kind of want to dive into those a little bit.
Nice.
All right, well, I guess it's time to pop till we drop. If you could see my outfit, you would know that I just came from the World Cup game that just happened. It was U.S. versus Germany, and I've been following the World Cup since it started a couple weeks ago, and it made me think about, like, how, because kind of everybody, at least everybody in Minneapolis, is following it, or at least if you talk to somebody, they're not like, oh, what? Like, I didn't know that was going on. And so it kind of made me think about the fact that people kind of jump on this soccer bandwagon every time something like soccer related comes up. So like 4 years ago when the World Cup was happening, everybody was like, oh yeah, no, soccer, totally a fan, love the game. And like they disappear for 3 years. And I'm kind of one of those people.
I have a question. Sorry.
No.
Wait, so the game already happened today?
Yeah. It started. It was at 11.
Oh, who won?
Germany did.
So what does that mean?
But the U.S. will still move on. It's a very complicated system. Like, the U.S. lost, but it's the last game in the group stage. The World Cup begins with group stages, and so there are four countries in each group, and they play each other, and then the winner moves on.
Mm-hmm.
The way that it worked out is that the teams tied and lost and won in a way that meant that this game, Germany versus the U.S., was that we were both kind of winners, because we had won and tied in the right games previous to that. So the other team that played at the same time, Portugal and Ghana, like if one of those teams had won by enough points, they would have been moving on, but they didn't win by enough points.
This sounds like a really confusing board game.
I kind of get the group thing, like
It's like basketball.
Yeah.
The same thing happens,
But I feel I neither watch nor get American football at all. Like, I just don't care. And so every time from, like, second grade.
Wait, one question. Do you watch the Super Bowl?
No.
Not even for the commercials?
No, not even. I've seen the Super Bowl exactly once, and it was for the food. And I was like, all right, whatever. But, you know, the whole, like, the down system, all of, like, how football is played makes no sense to me. So I feel kind of like I'm on the other side of the fence for once, where it's like I kind of know what's going on.
Some people
really know what's going on.
It's an easy sport to understand. I mean, there are a lot of, like, rules and stuff, but, I mean, the big rule is, like, get it in the goal.
Yep.
And don't be mean. Really, all of the rules in soccer are don't be mean.
Sure. And don't use your hands.
Yeah, and no hands, except for the goalie.
Yeah.
But anyway, so it is a very complicated system, and maybe that's one reason that people don't really get on board with it. Maybe?
Yeah, I feel like in the Olympics, for example, there are a lot of sports that people all of a sudden are like, oh, absolutely, they have to get blah, 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 blah. Like, you know, you become an expert on the rules really quickly.
Yeah.
Hardcore, like, dressage
fan. But you don't really know about them?
Yeah, I don't know. So
you fake it?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of bandwagoning in international sports.
Why would you fake knowing about a sport that you don't play, you don't watch any other time of your life?
I mean, I don't know. The people that I guess I'm talking specifically about social media, like, people aren't pretending to know anything about it. They're just talking about it. And at least on my newsfeed, it's a lot of ladies posting pictures of shirtless men, which I'm totally okay with.
Oh.
But it's like, you know, they're like, that's what's the cool thing about the World Cup, which is great. But the actual sport itself, like, I have zero interest in. Like,
sure.
I don't know why you would want to play a sport where you have to run up and down a field. Like, that sounds miserable to me. It's always really hot where all of these games are being played. Like, the shorts don't especially look that comfortable. Like, I don't know. Do they wear shin guards in, like, real soccer? Is that, like, a little kid thing?
Some people do, some people don't.
Those always seemed weird to me. I don't know. It's like, underwhelmed.
The reason that I'm interested in soccer is because I nannied for kids who came from Ireland to Minnesota, like, for their summers.
Sure.
And so when the World Cup was happening 4 years ago, they wanted to watch, and so I would watch with them. And then 2 years later, I was in Europe at the time of the Euro 2012 Cup.
Mm.
And mm-hmm. so, I mean, of course I had to watch it then because I was there. But, like, that's why I like soccer, is because I was in Europe. Like, I was lucky enough to be with, like, people from Europe. And it was cool. It was a cool sport. These people from Europe are cool, and they like this sport. So I'm going to like this sport.
Yeah. Okay. Americans love stuff
idea,
from
yeah.
Europe. It's like we want European chocolate when our mom goes on a trip.
Some Americans
there.
Love Europe.
The royal wedding.
The royal wedding. I mean, it's definitely, like, special to Americans because it's romanticized. There we go. It's
yeah.
like, you know, people dream about Paris and they want to go to the old cities and
yeah.
see the cobblestone streets. It's something that we don't have here. Soccer is something that we don't really have here. And we
yeah.
do. There's just not really a culture around
but
it.
Yeah, yeah.
And so when we're given the opportunity to jump on a cultural bandwagon such as soccer, obviously people are going to do it. And it's fun, you know. Like, I don't enjoy the sport at all. I don't get it at all.
Wow,
it's fun for me to hear people cheering about it. I was in the airport and some game was happening. I'm sure it was something important. But I was sitting by the bar and
maybe someone made a goal.
I don't know. But people were screaming and jumping up and down. It was like yeah. so community driven. It was great.
See, any other week of the year that would get you kicked out of the airport.
Yeah.
You,
this is one of the only times ever that you could be like, USA, USA,
right.
and not be like completely obnoxious, like everyone having like hating you.
Right.
I don't know. I was in a bar a couple weeks ago, and it was a U.S. game that was happening, and this was, I guess this was
Ghana?
Maybe,
was it Ghana?
No, this was maybe like 2 weeks ago even. It was like one of the very first games of the World Cup,
okay.
so it was like the crowd was kind of small, you know, people
right,
weren't,
yeah,
it
yeah.
wasn't quite as, you know, kind of fever
yeah.
pitchy.
Everybody thought
as
we were
going to
lose, so nobody cared.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then the U.S. scored a goal, and everyone's like, oh, USA, USA, oh boy, and I was like, where were you people? The last 3 years and 11 months since
yeah.
the previous World Cup, and yet you've all chosen to appear tonight. And the number has only grown. You know, I'm okay. You know, soccer is not, it's not like my spectator sport or whatever. But it's been like part of my family for a long time. Like, my dad and my sister are super into soccer. So the 1998 World Cup, That was when it was in, I don't remember where it was. It was the year that France won, tell you that much. but that was the, like, impetus for my family getting satellite TV, because
my
dad and my sister were like, oh, let's watch the World Cup. We need to watch the World Cup. Like, we're into soccer now.
We have to.
This is the year that we're into soccer. So I was like, oh, I'll go along with this. I've never looked back. So thanks, soccer, I guess, for that, for satellite TV.
It is pretty cool that, like, people as a whole are cheering for
one team.
For one team. Like,
yeah.
it is very...
Everybody holds up...
Like, national pride. But, you know, like, that happens in the Olympics. So...
You have so many chances in the Olympics. I think that's why it's special, is that, like, in the Olympics, if you lose one of the competitions, like, bummer... Guess I'll watch the one that's literally 30 minutes from now.
Yeah, but the good part about that is that you can actually choose sports that you're interested in. Everyone's just forced to be interested in soccer this month. Like,
oh, wow, Tess. Wow, Tess. No one's forcing you to be interested in soccer.
But,
okay.
like, you go to any bar and it's going to be on the TV. Like, I want the option to choose between cross-country skiing and snowboarding and ice skating.
Well, then I guess this just isn't for you, Tess. Sorry.
Sounds like you're a Winter Olympics girl.
I'm just playing the devil's advocate.
Oh, yeah. Bummer for you, like any summer.
Yeah. Over it. Let's get back to winter.
Yeah. I would be so down if, like, there was an international insane tournament of hockey. Like, if there was hockey in every country
yeah.
and there was, like, a World Cup of hockey, I'd totally be down.
Yeah, that
Dude,
sounds
US
more exciting.
Versus Canada.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like, there are always some, like, pretty terrifying, brutal games in, like, the regular hockey season. But I would love, you know.
The best part about hockey is the fights, though. Like, people don't really fight in soccer, do they?
I don't know, man.
There's,
like,
a lot of dramatic
Suarez
clutching.
Suarez bit somebody a week ago.
On purpose?
So, yeah.
That's awesome.
You can bite someone any day of the week. Come on. You can't strap on metal blades and slam someone into a wall every day. Like, that's pretty hardcore.
Guys. Shelby, he's
yeah,
got a
sorry.
Point.
Yeah, and especially, okay, like the biting thing, that was pretty hardcore. That was pretty, like, insane. But a
but
lot
like,
of But,
like, I mean, you got
soccer,
eliminated for that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you're right. Like, it's not a very brutal sport. Like, it is because you have no way of, you know, there are no protectants, there are no shields. Like, it's just your body. And, like, if you know.
But also, if you lightly tap someone, you get to fall down and clutch your shin and like,
guys.
Wail.
Right.
You know?
Also, you know, so. The footwork is very intricate, right? Like, they have to be very foot-eye coordinated or whatever. And think about, like, all the wonderful dance moves that they could do with those fancy feet,
I mean,
you know? It just feels wasted
maybe
on soccer.
Cool dance moves.
Yeah, it's like, So You Think You Can Dance should replace the World Cup.
Oh, see, I would watch that for sure. That's right up my alley.
I think everyone would agree that the internet is, in general, a place for learning. You know, kind of anytime you log on, you're going to, like, read an article or, you know, learn some new tip or life hack or whatever they call it these days, you know? I mean, like, but there was this older definition of the internet where kind of like when we were growing up, like the mid-90s, it was like, oh, you can share information and learn from each other, that kind of thing. And for me, it seems like that sort of definition has gone by the wayside a little bit. Like, what you're learning from the internet is very sort of like ephemeral, day to day. Like, I learned 12 cool new facts about like a certain celebrity, or like I learned a new recipe, that kind of thing.
Or like the rules of soccer.
Or the rules of soccer, or how the group stage of the World Cup works. You know, you can learn sort of like little tidbits. But I feel like the internet as a place to, like, gain expertise in something isn't really paid attention to by people of our generation. I think it might be, like, an attention span thing. Okay, so let me contextualize. So last year, I bought this motorcycle that was, like, kind of half working. Like, it worked, but I knew it needed to be fixed, you know? So I very conveniently found this, like, extremely intricate and well-written, generally, forum of these dudes who work on this very particular kind, and ladies, I should say, this very particular kind of Suzuki motorcycles. So, like, these are dudes who, and women, sorry, these are people.
My friends call me dude all the time, so.
Yeah, okay. These are people who, like, they're super mechanically oriented, and they have, like, total, you know, auto body shops basically in their garages, and they know how to, like, weld and what have you. And I don't know how to do any of that, but there's so much information on this forum that I learned how to do it and am, like, just fixing up my motorcycle for the season at the end of June or whatever. It's taken me a while, but it's been a cool learning process, and I've actually learned, like, mechanical things that I didn't know.
Yeah.
And it's shocking that I'm at this stage where I was like, I didn't know anything about how my motorcycle worked, except, like, you twist the throttle and it goes. You know, and you shift the gears
on.
Or whatever.
Should turn on.
Yeah. And it wasn't turning on. It might not turn on. Who knows? But, like, I've learned all these cool details and what have you that I didn't know before. And I had honestly, I had forgotten that the internet could even do that for you. Like, that you could log on and be like, I want to know how to install a light fixture, or, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be hands-on stuff, like write a cover letter even, you know, these are all things that you could look up, but I almost never think to try and learn a new topic from the internet.
But do you think that's because of where we're at in our lives? Because we get to a point, you know, we're postgraduate, right? Mm-hmm. So we have jobs that we go to most days, and we're not, like, trying to learn new things. We're trying to survive with the knowledge that we have and that we've, you know, gathered over the last 18 years, whatever. Because I remember when I was in school, I was always looking for the internet to teach me new things, show me information, you know, whatever. And I think maybe it's just at the point that we are. I don't know. Last year I learned how to play the piano by just watching YouTube videos, like instructional YouTube videos. You know, it was like you can.
That's fair. Like, I guess I hadn't really considered instructional YouTube videos in my category. Those are great.
Those are the best.
Yeah, yeah, those are. I don't know. It's been kind of like a godsend for me because I guess I don't really think of it to like actually learn something new. Like if I want to like learn self-defense or like learn soccer, like how to play it because I'm terrible at it, I imagine going to a soccer club or a defense class because I wouldn't understand how to like look something like that up and like, you know, do it on my own. But like it has been nice because you're right, like being post-grad, I guess I just want to kind of make it based on what I already know. I'm still kind of in the, I'm not in school anymore and like that's really weird and I don't learn anything and that's weird. So, you know, I'll look stuff up if I have a question and just read it because there's no teacher there anymore to tell me. Mm-hmm. I can't remember the last thing that I truly looked up and like tried to become very good at, or I guess an expert at. Yeah. Like you always, you know, there are always all these online courses. Like I've signed up for a million online classes, you know, through Coursera or any of those other like free online classes with like real professors. I mean, like real students, real MOOCs. Like it's truly you're going to learn something in the class. Never finished one in my life.
Hmm. Interesting. I think part of it, I don't know, my theory for why I never paid attention to anything was just like, I don't know, maybe you could call it like open a new tab culture, you know, like you get onto a page and you get to some link, you know, you get to some like interesting phrase and you click on the link. Yeah. And you, you know, you wind up with like 27 tabs open and you're just like, what am I supposed to do with any of this? You know, whereas, you know, in, you know, shop class or something. Maybe a bad example. In any class, like you would have to be in like a world for 45 minutes or 2 hours or whatever, and you'd have to kind of like spend some time and do a deep dive, as they say, into the topic. But when you're trying to learn things on the internet, it'll be like Wikipedia. What about like this kind of bug or something like that? And then you wind up on like trees, and then you wind up on like space, and then you wind up in like celebrity world, you know, like it's not a very conducive medium to like, I'm gonna sit here and I'm gonna scroll through 17,000 words about repairing my motorcycle or whatever.
That's like parallel with what we've been taught to market ourselves as, though, you know, we're not supposed to be the expert at anything. We're supposed to be pretty good at like a lot of different stuff and be able to figure stuff out in case you don't know.
Sure.
You need to know how to figure it out. Like those are the skill sets that we've been given. And that's what the internet is good for.
Sure.
Finding, like figuring out how to do things that we don't know how to do, not becoming an expert on any of them.
Mm.
But well, knowing enough.
I say no more. I don't like it. Arguably,
I don't think it breeds great people. Like, think about
shallow. We're not very good.
It's, well, you know, you guys are great.
Sorry, Tess.
But I'm saying, you know, it's the experts that change culture. It's the experts that are remembered, that, you know, have paintings in museums, that, you know, build buildings. Like, those are the people who actually influence culture in the long run. It's not people who are kind of good at a lot of different stuff, which is what we're all expected to be now, you know? We're all expected to do social media. We're all expected to know a minimal art history. We're all expected to know, you know, it's like, that's not great.
Well, I've heard us referred to.
That's a very incisive take, I have to say. I love that. Great work.
Thank you.
I've heard us referred to as the researching generation rather than whatever came before us, like the expert generation. I don't know the term.
Or just having an applicable skill, you know.
Yeah, because we will
at all
Google anything, like the.
Whatsoever.
Yeah, the reasoning for that was that we don't really feel like we need to know anything, like truly like know a lot of stuff, because we can just research it using Google, using any other kind of like search site, because we're good at that. Like, not everybody understands that, like, you can really learn something using the internet by using Google. Like, not everybody believes that, and like our generation does, because that's arguably how we learned anything, all through school, all through after school.
Yeah. I'd put it out there that we're really good at kind of like quick fix solutions.
Absolutely.
To the extent that it's like, there is a problem, I can Google how to fix it in 4 minutes, and that will, like, it's the same thing with like why all clothing now is disposable, whereas it used to be made to last, that kind of thing. Like, you know, the reason we have sweaters from our grandparents and our parents is because they were made well and were, like, meant to survive. But now things are just, like, disposable. Go to Target, get it, blah, blah, blah. It's the same sort of thing where, like, we know how to do something that will fix something for a week, even if it's something like at work, you're like, oh, I need like a social media solution or something like that. And you just quickly Google it to try and smooth the waters a little bit. But then things just keep getting stirred up. You know, it's not a very sustainable, like, long-term lifestyle. So I hope my motorcycle works, because if those forum dudes were lying, I'm going to be so mad. I'm more just going to, like, look at my bank account and weep.
Yeah.
Which is, like, the millennial complaint, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So, whatever. But I feel, you know, I feel very enriched for having, you know, because, like, I had this motorcycle that, like, last summer I was able to ride it a fair amount. But it took some kind of, like, you had to, you know, coax it into starting up every time.
You had to wiggle the handle, like, a little bit oddly.
Yeah, and you had to, like, leave the choke on for 10 minutes. Like, all these kind of, like, I obviously last year had no idea what I was doing. So there were moments where I would be, like, in a parking lot somewhere and being like, I don't know what to do. You know, but I feel, like, the very fact that I, like, ripped everything off of it and, like, opened some stuff up and, like, poked around and, like, that is... I feel like that is probably my proudest achievement of the last, like, probably year or so.
It's gratifying.
It's just that, like, you know, I did something with my hands. I figured out a solution to, like, a real, even if it doesn't totally work, like, there were some things I know I fixed.
Did you read the book of Zen and the Art of Motorcycle
Maintenance? I still have never read it.
You should read it now.
Like, yeah, I'm sure it'll be, I mean, it's a very gratifying feeling. And I haven't, you know, gotten a chance to do anything like that in a while. You know, it's very non-millennial, I feel.
Yeah, my dad would always say that my brother and I didn't know how to do anything. Like, we didn't know how to fix anything.
Sure.
My dad, like, essentially built various parts of our house.
He knew
how to do the plumbing and the electrical and put up walls and do all this stuff. And I don't know how we learned how to do those things, because there wasn't the internet to, you know, to be like, here's a quick fix. Like, he actually had to figure it out, learn some skills to further along his situation. And that's an idea that's
well,
so
I wonder if it's because we feel like we don't need to do that. Like,
I've
never felt like I'm going to have to learn how to build my house or, like, anything like that. Even though my dad would say the same thing to me, because he built our house too. And he'd be like, you know, help me with this. You can learn how to do this. And I just, like, I know how to do some things, but I don't feel like I will run into that situation where I have to build a house or, like, build a motorcycle, which is not true. I might, but I don't feel like that.
No.
So I don't know if previous generations have felt like that. So they feel like they need to learn these skills. I don't feel like I need to learn them, even though they would be useful.
I kind of feel like it goes back to the internet thing, because it would be just as hard to try to find someone to fix your motorcycle in you know, the 1960s, like, pre-internet, where you have to, like, look it up in a book and go on a landline or a payphone and try to call someone to fix your motorcycle and then bring it there without directions, and you don't even have MapQuest to get there. How would you do that? I have no idea how you would do that. It's just as hard to find that information as it would be to go to a library and look it up yourself how to fix it.
Yeah.
Sure. Normally, I just try and avoid the internet, but I had this, like, renewed optimism about, like, people who have expert knowledge, like, sharing it with each other. It made me feel great. So that's my call to action for everyone, is, like, if you want to, like, I don't know, if you want to learn woodworking or you want to learn sewing or something, do it. Like, look it up on the internet, and not just, like, eHow, 7 easy steps to, you know, with pictures of how to, you know, sew a pair of pants
Google,
or something.
Like, easy way to learn blank or fast way to learn blank.
Yeah.
Google,
it's,
like,
it's incredible. It's such a good feeling. Yeah. I don't know. Everybody should have a craft. For a long time, I thought my craft was writing, but it turns out it's motorcycle repair.
Little did you know.
Yeah, I'll report back. I'm going to be so embarrassed if it doesn't work. She'll be like, yeah, I didn't learn anything. I learned nothing. But I tried.
I've been really aware of my Minnesotan-ness, Minnesota-ness. I don't know how to say that. And I think that happens when you leave the state a lot.
Sure.
You know, because are you guys both from here?
Yes.
I grew up in Minnesota.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, most people here grew up here. And no one really thinks about it. But when you leave and you tell people you're from Minnesota, whether it's within the U.S. or outside of the U.S., there's always kind of a funny response. Usually it's people saying, you don't have an accent.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. Do people really have accents like in Fargo? I'm like, sometimes, maybe. They do exist. Not really in the city, but
they exist in my hometown.
Really? Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you that.
Where are you
oh,
from?
Yeah. Fergus Falls.
Okay. Sure.
Oh, they. Well, I already said it. I was just going to say, oh, they might get mad at me for that. But they do. They do have that accent,
yeah.
Truly.
My friends,
not everyone, but a lot of people do.
My friend's mom growing up, this was when people still called house phones. I would call her and, like, hello, is my friend there? And she would answer the phone, hello, who is it? And I was like, I thought that she was joking. Like, I thought that she was always pretending to have a Canadian accent. I had no idea that that was related to where I was from at all.
Oh, sure.
Like, that wasn't me. That's not my people. Like, I
right.
thought that she was pretending to have a Canadian accent, which... I obviously didn't figure out until
I feel like a lot of my friends when I was growing up didn't, and it's something that really only develops when you get older. I mean, maybe it'll be something that's sort of like a generational change as we're exposed to more, you know, sort of like broad Midwestern, or, you know, we listen to more people from around the country talk via YouTube or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I always felt that, like, my friends and I spoke in the very sort of neutral, generic Midwestern
voice. The newscaster voice,
yeah,
right?
The non-accented Midwestern.
Yeah.
And it was like all of our parents or aunts and uncles who would be doing the crazy, like, you know, Lutheran church breakfast.
Yeah.
Minnesotan.
Off of that, whenever I answer the phone and it's my mom, my voice will change and my boyfriend makes fun of me for
oh,
it
sure.
every single time because
really?
it's like deep Minnesotan.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the O's get really long and it's like, oh, hey, mom. Like, truly,
mom.
Truly,
yeah.
Truly. And it's, I mean, it's just, and it kills him every time. And, like, it's really weird because I used to, speaking of the Fargo thing, I used to struggle with telling people where I grew up and, like, relating it to that because Fergus Falls is, like, next to Fargo. I mean, that's that's really the way that you understand where it is. And so I used to, like, never tell people where it was. And I would be like, oh, it's, like, in central Minnesota. And they'd be like, ma, I don't know where that is. Especially when you're, like, out of the States.
Right.
People
sure.
have no idea where Minnesota is. They don't care. Mm-hmm. So, like, when I would say, oh, it's right by Fargo, they'd be like, oh, like the movie.
Oh, Fargo.
And know immediately where it is. I mean, kind of, you know, they understand, like, it's snowy and people talk
right.
funny.
And
yeah.
people
but
throw
yeah,
each
but,
other in the wood chipper.
Yeah,
it's fine.
Right, yeah. But then I would get the, you don't have the accent.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, well, yeah. But, I mean, I don't know if it bothers me. I mean, like, because the accent, like, Fargo is hard because we were talking before that, like, everybody's kind of just dumb in that movie.
In
I mean,
movie.
Not dumb, but, like,
well, they're all
dumb.
Just, like, really extreme characters or caricatures,
right, yeah.
you know, almost. Of-
right.
people of humans.
But I mean, honestly, like, the accent can sometimes be, like, kind of endearing. And, like, when people ask me, you know, like, oh god, is it so cold up there, like, it doesn't bother me. I'm not like, oh man, like, you're so dumb, like, it's not cold like every single day, it's just it's cold during the winter. I mean, it's kind of, it's nice, you know. I say, like, yeah, it gets really cold, like, it can also get really hot though.
So I'm wondering if, like, these stereotypes that are portrayed in, you know, the movie Fargo, now the television series Fargo, Marshall from How I Met Your Mother, you know, there's all these Minnesotan characters out there, if it's beneficial for Minnesotans, like, if it's a positive thing or if it's a negative stereotype. Because I think in a lot of cases it could be considered offensive, but are you guys offended by it at all?
I don't know if I'm offended as much as, like, I don't really think that understand what Minnesota is, where it is, what the weather's like, who grows up here. Because you're right, like, a lot of the Minnesotan characters are, like, Nordic. And like, that's basically it. But I mean, I don't know if I'm offended, and I also don't know if I want people to know what Minnesota is like, because the more people know what it's like, the more people will move here.
That's what I was thinking.
And, like, yeah, and I don't know if I want more more people to move here because I like my state.
It's like a special little place that I don't. I feel the same way that people just don't.
Not that
truly
I would kick people
out. Like.
Mm-hmm.
No, of course but not. We're like, Minnesotan. We would never. Right. But I think you know.
We would just complain about
it. We would
it
just
on the
complain
radio
about
instead.
It passive aggressively wait. Behind
yeah.
their back
on the radio. Yeah.
On the radio, but it is like a. It's we're biased. Obviously, we're from here. We're you know.
Right.
A part of Minnesota,
lifers.
A part of Minneapolis. but it is special and it's charming. And it's charming, I think, partially because people don't know much about it outside yeah. the city. And there isn't like.
And I feel like the people who will make fun of Minnesota are more making fun of like ruralness than. You know.
Than Minnesota.
Minnesota specifically. It just happens that like. A Minnesotan voice is kind of funny, you know, the stereotypical Minnesotan voice, in the same way that, like, a redneck voice is funny. But, you know, people from Minnesota make fun of, like, the southern redneck, you know, all over the world, you know. That's just kind of, like, a generally accepted. So we don't, I guess we don't have it as bad as people from, like, the hills of
from
Kentucky do, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a somewhat hurtful, you know. I guess I'm not hurt by it. It's just just like people are making fun of you because they think you're slow or something, and there's like, oh, what even is there in your state? It's like there's a lot of stuff.
I get the question, what do you even do? Like all the time. Like what do you do there? What do you do for fun? I'm like, I don't know, man, what do you do for fun? Like get off my back.
A best friend of mine lived in DC and I would go visit her growing up, and when I was like 17, one of her friends truly asked me with no sarcasm, like no nothing, if all of my friends grew up on a hobby farm, because I was telling her like where I grew up, and she was like, mm-hmm. "Oh, does everybody grow up on that?" And I was like, "What?
No, it's not required by the
no.
state."
No. Yeah, Minnesota is just there are no towns in Minnesota. It's just all farms, just no towns. Yeah, I don't know. It's one of those things that like. It can be well milked for like entertainment coverage when you're talking about. I mean, like Fargo is a very sort of sarcastically loving portrait of Minnesota, and it just happens that like everybody else saw it as this kind of like broad caricature. Like there are a lot of really great details in Fargo that are like, yeah, man, that's my state. Like those are my people, and mm-hmm. everyone else just saw it as like a broad comedy of, you know, bumpkins. Yeah, but there are so many. I feel like the sort of broader representation of Minnesota is becoming more common as people start to recognize like the Twin Cities.
Bikes.
Yeah, you know, and it's kind of got this, you know, Portland of the Midwest reputation. Which
that is offensive to me. When people No, like you, but like when people refer to like the Twin Cities or like Minnesota as such and such
of the Midwest.
Of the Midwest. Yeah. Like, no, we're not. Like, the Twin Cities are the Twin Cities and Minnesota is Minnesota. Like, I don't want to be something of the East Coast or like something of the West Coast. Sure. It makes me feel like, you know, this is like second best, which I don't, in no way do I ever think that Minnesota is second best to anything. I mean, like, you know, because I grew up here, I'm going to say it's better than everything else. But, like, I also don't believe that. Like, I wouldn't call Portland, the Minneapolis of the West Coast. When people refer to it as such and such of the Midwest, that I think that comes off of the fact that they don't know anything about it. And, like, that makes me sad mm-hmm. that nobody knows anything about Minnesota or the Twin Cities. Or
yeah. I was telling my friend about here and... He was like, oh, what's the dating scene like? And I was like, well, you know, on one hand, it's kind of strange because it's a small city. So most people know each other. If they happen to be dating someone random, they probably know someone's friends. You know, it's pretty connected.
Yeah.
But I was like, there's a lot of really great lakes to walk around and talk about your feelings. There's a lot of really great coffee shops that play really romantic, happy music. And there's a lot of really great cheap date nights. So actually, you know, it's a very dateable young city. And
it's
charming.
We're one of the best cities in the U.S. to be single in.
Really?
Yeah. I saw this.
Is it a list?
Like,
is it on
like this week. I saw this. No, it's not on BuzzFeed.
It was a list, though.
It was a list.
It was a
list. Yeah, it was a list.
Journalism,
yeah.
My favorite thing.
I think as we gain more recognition, it'll become more of just like a place for people, and especially as like moving around becomes a more normal rite of passage for young people, because, you know, I feel like, I mean, my parents certainly moved around a lot, but I know people who of an older generation who have just never moved. You know, it's been like,
yeah,
you know, Mankato to the cities, or like the cities to Rochester or something. You know, you don't go very far beyond what you know. But as people our age, you're like, I grew up in Miami and I'm just going to move to Seattle. Or, you know, I grew up in Denver and I'm going to move to Maine or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Minnesota will become more of a destination, I think, than it would have been considered in years previous.
Well, something that I was thinking about was that, you know, now Minneapolis and parts of St. Paul are getting recognized as like hipster capitals, or like being mm-hmm. involved in that. And, you know, there is such a huge pilgrimage for Midwesterners to move out east to New York, to Manhattan or Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Williamsburg in Brooklyn is right. like, you know, supposedly the hipster central of the world. I'm like, okay, so if it's attract, like, there's similar types, if we're going to typecast people, there's similar types of people that would be attracted to both Minneapolis and Brooklyn. Like, mm-hmm. why mm-hmm. isn't Minneapolis on the map?
It'll get there eventually. It's just every person.
I think it'll come to Minneapolis. I mean, like we just talked about. Yeah,
but we don't really want it to, right?
Like, right. Well, I mean, I don't know. I can't decide.
In a much more low-key way. I don't think anyone's ever going to get super stoked about... I feel like there's this very convenient safety valve with Minnesota in that it gets really cold and really terrible and really dark.
So we keep out the people we don't want.
Yeah, so people... I could foresee a situation in which someone, you know, maybe like 5% of people who move here or something like that are like, whoops, and hightail it for elsewhere.
Yeah.
Which is fine with me.
We only keep the good ones around.
Yeah.
Strong. Strong. Strong.
The strongest. Yeah, survival of the fittest.
Mm-hmm.
Minneapolis. Wow. What a great slogan.